Did they do that testing for like people that may have come into work under the influence? Or any suspicion? Okay.
Good morning, everyone. It's 9 o'clock. I'm calling the meeting to order. We have Jenny Marie, Daniel Kirby, and myself chairing. We're looking for a motion to adopt the agenda as is.
So move.
Motion made by Marie.
Second.
Seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Looking for a motion to approve the December 7th, 2022 LOC meeting minutes and forward to the business committee.
So move.
Second.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Current business, drug and alcohol free workplace law amendments. Clarissa.
Good morning. On August 30th, 2022, the LOC received a request from the Human Resources Department to add the drug and alcohol free workplace law amendments to its active files list. So HRD indicated that with the Benton pre-employment drug testing petition currently pending, which requests to remove THC from the pre-employment drug testing requirements, they were directed by the business committee to work with the Oneida Law Office on potential proposed language to address this petition. So the LOC added this item to its active files list on September 7th, 2022. It is the policy of the nation to establish a drug and alcohol-free workplace program that balances respect for individuals with the need to maintain an alcohol and drug-free environment. So since this item was added to the active files list, the LOC has held 3 work meetings and collaborated with representatives from the Oneida Law Office, the Human Resources Department, Gaming, and Employee Health Nursing. So the proposed amendments to the law will provide that an external applicant's confirmed positive THC test result shall be exempted from the requirement of a negative drug test result for pre-employment eligibility in certain circumstances. So for gaming positions, an external applicant receiving a confirmed positive test result for THC may qualify for employment if the position mandates a background check in accordance with 50C501-10. The position mandates a licensing in accordance with 50C501.11, and the position does not require a commercial driver's license or job-related driving. So for non-gaming positions, an external applicant receiving a confirmed positive test result for THC may qualify for employment if the position has not been identified as an employee position, which waived the exemption for positive THC test results. The proposed amendments will also require the Oneida Business Committee to adopt through resolution a list of all the non-gaming employment positions that waive the exemption for positive THC test results. So on December 7th, the LOC accepted the draft and directed a legislative analysis be completed. On page 7 of the packet is the legislative analysis. So a legislative analysis is a plain English explanation of the proposed amendments. And then now that we have a draft of the proposed amendments as well as the legislative analysis, we're asking the LOC to consider a motion to approve the legislative analysis of the drug and alcohol free workplace law amendments.
So moved.
Motion been made by Jenny. Seconded by Daniel. Questions or comments? See none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carries. Moving on to the election law emergency amendments. Clarissa?
So this item starts on page 21 of your packet. So an emergency amendment to the election law is being sought. So on November 30th, 2022, during the presentation of the Oneida Election Board's quarterly report, the Oneida Business Committee adopted a motion to request the Legislative Operating Committee to take emergency action on the election law to address concerns identified in the event that the 2023 Annual General Tribal Council meeting is not held. So Section 102.9-1 of the election law requires that the General Tribal Council select the date of the general election at the annual meeting in January or the first meeting held that year. So the Oneida Election Board expressed concern that there is the possibility that the General Tribal Council will not be able to meet in January or soon after to select the 2023 general election, and they asked for emergency amendments to be made to the election law to provide guidance on how this concern should be handled. So the LOC determined that these amendments should be pursued on an emergency basis for the immediate preservation of the general welfare of the reservation population. So the election law governs the procedures for the conduct of orderly elections of the nation, including pre-election activities such as caucuses and nominations. The emergency amendment to the election law will allow the Oneida Business Committee to select the election date if the General Tribal Council is unable to meet to select the election date by February 1st of a year. So the Oneida Business Committee can temporarily enact legislation when legislation is necessary for the immediate preservation of the public health, safety, or general welfare of the reservation population, and the amendment of the legislation is required sooner than would be possible under the Legislative Procedures Act. So a fiscal impact statement and a public meeting are not required for emergency legislation. So the emergency amendment to the election law is necessary for the preservation of the general welfare of the reservation population in order to ensure that the 2023 general election can occur in accordance with the requirements of the election law. So additionally, observance of the requirements under the Legislative Procedures Act for the adoption of the amendment to the election law would be contrary to public interest, and the process and requirements of the Legislative Procedures Act cannot be completed in time to allow a date to be selected for the 2023 general election that provides the Oneida Election Board enough time to properly plan and prepare for the nation to hold the 2023 general election in July 2023. So the adoption of these emergency amendments to the election law will take effect immediately upon adoption by the business committee. The emergency amendment will remain in effect for 6 months, and the Legislative Procedures Act does provide the possibility to extend the emergency amendment for an additional 6 month period. So today we're asking the LOC to consider a motion to approve the election law emergency amendments adoption packet and forward to the Oneida Business Committee for consideration. So move.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Jenny. Questions or comments? We have Nancy and then Ray. Okay. Do you have mic on? Oh, you got to use that other one. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I guess I'm going to ask for clarification then. If the meeting is canceled on January 30th, then it's my understanding that this body will then take upon the task of scheduling the election. Is that correct?
Not this body, it would be the business committee.
Okay, so I'm just trying to, this, you know, the follow LOC, the process.
This is the legislative operating committee.
Yes.
The LOC, and then the full business committee would set that date.
Okay, so then if the meeting's canceled on the 30th, then it would be the LOC that would put the issue on the business committee agenda, and then the business committee would then take up the issue of when the election would be. They would set the date, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And right now there's three proposed separate dates of when they would have the election, and then there would be a backup schedule for the caucus and everything else to occur. So.
Thank you.
The three dates are in July. I don't have them in front of me because I didn't receive the full memo yet. But there's three different dates for the election, and then each one would have a backup schedule of how the caucus would start off, and then the primary, and then the election.
And then, you know, I was here when the chairman of the election board came to report to the business committee her concerns and, you know, moving forward with the election. And the comment that she made is that the caucus and the primaries would not be canceled. Previous to this, I don't know how long ago, maybe about a year ago when this whole conversation started, there were conversations up here on this floor about choosing those dates. And, you know, there seemed to be a conversation about conflicting with the powwow and also conflicting with the anniversary. And I guess I'm looking at that as that's kind of backwards. If we have people from out of the area here attending events, that increases, I believe, the voting power capacity numbers. So, you know, I'd just like that to be considered. Thank you.
And if that situation occurs, the membership is willing to come to the meeting as well and put recommendations down for the business committee as well. And the only reason the meeting would be canceled at this point right now is if it was a bad weather storm coming in, because right now we lifted everything else for COVID. So low, medium, or high, we would still have the meeting, but everybody would have to wear a mask. I'm calling Ray, and then I'll call on Kirby. So you want to come up to the mic, Ray? Thank you, Nancy. Just state your full name for the record.
Hi, my name is Ray Skinnendorf.
Clarissa, can you turn this mic on?
There you go.
Hi, my name is Ray Skinnendorf. I just found out about this, the emergency amendment last night, and was hoping just to attend, see really what's going on. So I'm not that prepared, but I am a part of the election board, and I have those dates that you mentioned.
Okay.
That we have recommended. Our number one date is July 15th. But I just wanted to, I'm a little bit alarmed. I'm not in support of this amendment at all. I think this is one more, makes it a little bit easier to cancel a meeting again. I know you said only for national causes or something, but we've had so many meetings canceled for so long, and I don't want to make it another reason just to make it easier to cancel a meeting. This is one of the reasons we should have a meeting, and if we don't have that meeting, it's another thing that shouldn't just be decided by not the GTC. Like, I think we were elected to run these elections, and we're already kind of at a bare bones status, in my opinion. And so we should be the ones picking the dates. I know you're taking our recommendations into consideration, but it should be either the GTC or us. I'd like to just voice my opinion against this emergency amendment.
Okay. You have a comment, Kirby?
No, not on
this topic?
I think my comment to this was in regards to Nancy also, the business committee picking a date. And from my experience being up here is when they pick the date, the election board is the one who makes the recommendation, and it's usually gone whatever their recommendation was.
That's what I figured. I'm new on the election board. Yeah. This is my first year.
Yeah, and so I think there's a deception that the business committee is going to do whatever they want, but there's an election board that's elected, are appointed, and they pick the dates and they give the recommendation to the business committee. So I don't see any reason to be alarmed other than that's up to figure out the dates, what are going to work for them. I'm not on the election board, so.
Yeah, I think we're short, so if the dates aren't, that we recommend aren't, strongly considered, then alternate dates would put us at a very, very short manpower situation to literally run the election.
Yep. And in most cases, we normally take the recommendation from the board committee or commission. Even with appointments, we kind of basically lean towards the recommendation of the board committee or commission. Jenny?
I'm not opposed to that. I think somebody's got to make the decision. And it's just, for me, it's unfortunate that it's December and that the election board has just now, well, I think it was, what, the last BC meeting? Yeah. That they reported out that the election board said, hey, we kind of have, we're in a pickle for the election. You know, they're kind of late to the table, in my eyes, the election board, with bringing this issue forward. That's just my concern.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions, or concerns? I think at this point, we basically kind of have to move forward with this because it's an emergency and we have to get it passed before. I think that's basically why this is on here, is because we're under a lot of pressure right now to get it done, because for you guys to get the dates ready to go. But you guys have the dates picked. I know that already. We just haven't received the final copy. I just found out from one of the admins that what the dates were, but I don't really have a copy of it or nothing. Jenny?
One more thing, and I know it was mentioned, I think maybe after the quarterly reports where it was identified that election board brought it forward, that your emergency now turns into emergency here. You know, and that's, yeah. I don't mean to scold.
Oh yeah, no, I'm new to the election board. I didn't know we were in it. I haven't heard that we were rushed or behind or anything like that. But I know that the meetings have been canceled for a long time now. And so that just puts pressure on all business being taken care of. And
right.
So this is, I think, again, I'm speaking out against this because I want a meeting. I want a GTC meeting
in
person.
Well, I think we all do.
Now we all do. I know there's a lot of people who want the virtual mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. different stuff. I want a meeting in person. We got one coming up. Again, I would like to go against this emergency amendment, and hopefully that will help us have one more reason to not cancel this another meeting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what I'm saying is your emergency at election board, you know, all other boards, even on COA, have been meeting virtually for the last, you know, 2 years, maybe not quite 3 years, but 2 years. But your emergency for lack of planning and lack of foresight on the election board.
I'm not familiar with any of that. I don't think we're in emergency. I think it's...
No. Your emergency for not having a plan for the election for 2023 has now turned into an LOC emergency. You know, so your emergency has turned into an emergency here, and we all know we've got to get this taken care of before elections in July. You know, so kind of scolding election board.
Okay.
You know, and I know you're new and don't want you to take the brunt of it, but we've had to make adjustments here to accommodate this issue. Kind of because
election board... And it was due to us being late with the proposed dates. It sounds to me like it would be normally just due to the we can't propose a date to the GTC if there's no GTC meetings.
Right. But you've known we've not had a GTC, you know, for 2 years. So it's just late getting to the table here so that, so now we've got to drop what we're doing and make sure that this gets taken care of.
I wish you wouldn't. I wish you would just leave it as is and let's have the GTC meeting.
We all want that.
I think that, like I basically said, it would be a bad storm would be the only reason to cancel it. So I think we're really going to have two meetings. We're in January. We're having one on the 16th, and we're having one on the 30th. The 30th is the annual, and they're both going to be in person at the Radisson. So I believe, is it on the first agenda or the second agenda?
Second.
The second one, the annual? Okay, for the 30th then. Okay. We don't have the same ones as the business. We don't have the same one as the business committee. All right, thank you, Ray.
That was all I had. And then the other dates were the backup dates. I have them. I could send them to you or show them to you. July 8th and July 22nd was the third choice.
22nd?
July 15th was our first preferred choice.
Yep.
We have a lot of pressure on just our. It's hard. If we don't get the first choice, we're going to be very short. And then July 8th was a second choice, and July 22nd was a third choice.
Short in manpower.
Manpower, yeah, literally not enough manpower. And then when that doesn't happen, you know, people get appointed, and obviously you would prefer somebody elected than appointed. I think we would all want that.
So would the July 22nd give you more manpower?
July 15th is the most manpower we can get.
Oh, yeah, it's the most, okay.
That's our number one recommendation, July 15th.
Like I said before, Ray, we basically go off of the recommendations of the boards.
That's great.
So hopefully, that's what I would support if it was brought in on. If it was for me to vote, that's where I would be leaning towards. Thank you. Nancy?
What I learned about processes like this is that something can't happen until something happens first. The business committee did not schedule the annual meeting until the 30th, which is why they couldn't do anything until the business committee scheduled that meeting so that we can set a date for the election. So, you know, to turn this around, that the election board is coming at the 13th hour and creating more work and an emergency for the LOC, that is not the issue. The issue was this wasn't brought to the business committee floor until, you know, I can't give the exact date of the meeting because there was like three of them with a lot of information. So to turn that around and say that the election board is creating an emergency isn't accurate. And, you know, to turn that around, that it's their fault that we're here today because of this, that's not the case. They came with their concerns about the dates. I brought issues to the business committee agenda regarding GTC meetings and scheduling them as far back as October. And so, you know, for the process to work, all you gotta do is pick a date, set a date, and move forward. So I was concerned on this floor when the business committee took action that the annual meeting not be held on the 30th because, you know, we live in Wisconsin, there's inclement weather, they set a date. But then this conflicted with what these guys do. So waiting, you know, till the 13th hour to set a date set the process for everything to become an emergency, because then if it's inclement weather, then we postpone it. So, you know, to turn this around that the election board wasn't ready, they were. So, you know, that those are my concerns. And then, you know, I heard the comment about adequate staff. So that's concerning to me. Are there going to be enough people to work the election? And if there's not, what is, you know, plan B? I don't know enough about the outside world to know how their elections are held. You know, I know there's the League of Women Voters, and I know that there's other people that can come in and be hired, and if that's what we have to do to run a fair and honest and proper election, then I guess we need to look at that, because, you know, I don't know if these positions are appointed or are they elected election board members.
They're appointed.
So how many positions are open? So now I'm hearing two different stories. You're saying appointed, he's saying elected.
It's two different ways you can do it, because like right now, it's a recommendation, would be a good recommendation for the election board to start posting for alternates, because they actually have alternates that then they actually get sworn in by us, the business committee. But this would be a good time to start advertising for that because of the fact that July is only a few months away, so.
Okay, how many members are on the election board?
There's also a primary that has to occur, too.
Right. So how many members are on the election board? Does anybody know?
You'd have to ask Ray, probably. He has a
Yeah, we have nine, but we need, you know, we kind of like this could have five meetings. We've been meeting regularly.
So there's nine people that run the election, along with security and whoever else is all involved. So how many positions do you have open?
Okay.
So what is the process then for, because you guys ultimately are in charge, you know, to get this rolling so that when the next business committee meeting happens in, you know, there's one next week scheduled, you know, I was already told, well, we're probably not going to have it because of Christmas. So, you know, who's responsible for putting this on the business committee agenda and moving forward with this in a timely manner? This is an important function. And, you know, I get frustrated when the processes don't work in order. And then this is why you're saying, you know, we're here in an emergency situation. What if we get close to the election and we've got four people who recluse themselves and not enough people to run the election? And then you're, you know, in May or June, you're scrambling around. This is December. You know, this doesn't need to be as hard as we make it for ourselves. Clear, precise, this is how many people we need. I don't know what other recommendations to offer other than if this doesn't work and we don't get enough people, then what is plan B? And who's going to develop that plan and how is that going to be implemented? Because, you know, we've got an election coming up. We need to be ready there can't be any excuses that, oh, we waited, you know, and these guys waited, and pointing the finger and passing the buck. So, you know, those are the things I'm looking at. Whose responsibility is that to bring that back to the business committee floor to let them know the issues? I know that, you know, this emergency amendment, now when will that come back to the business committee?
Clarissa.
So the emergency amendment will be at the December 28th, 2022 business committee meeting for consideration by the business committee. And in regard to Nancy's comments on whose responsibility it is to bring forward the concerns regarding the election, I believe it would most likely be the responsibility of the election board as they're planning their election. If they identify any issues that may be upcoming, whether that's with low staffing levels because of recusal or any other issues, to bring that forward, if it would need to result in amendments being made to the election law, then it'd be appropriate for them. They could come directly to the LOC and make requests for amendments, or if it's just other kind of general kind of implementing the election, then they could bring those concerns to the business committee, hopefully as soon as they arise, so that they can be addressed and solutions can be found prior to kind of getting into any emergency time frame that could affect the election and how it's being held.
I have one more question. Does the election have to happen in July? Is that a law rule? Anybody know?
That's in the Constitution.
Okay,
it's in the Constitution.
Kirby. Just looking Kirby.
It's in the Constitution.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to confirm that the election board is elected by General Tribal Council, but then once they have the caucus and you find out who's running for all the positions, and there's been times election officers then have to recuse themselves because now their sibling, their aunt, somebody in their family is running. And so it's down to the wire. And then we advertise based on how many recuse themselves, how many more people we take their recommendation. How many do you need election officers to run an election poll in Milwaukee and up here? And it's usually a total of like 9 or 12. And so we start advertising for previous election board officers, and people in Milwaukee who have experience working the polls are serving on the election board, and we move forward. But it's the election board that pretty much they run the election, and they make the recommendation to the business committee, and they are elected by General Tribal Council, and the only time they're appointed is when they're short and we don't have enough time to have an election for the election board. We then appoint at the recommendation of the election board.
That is correct. Thanks, Kirby. Jenny?
Oh, yep, Ness, same thing. I was gonna just go through the process, that there is a process for filling those positions when somebody needs to recuse, but we won't know who needs to recuse until the primary. Or until caucus, until caucus is closed. They're not gonna know if they have, you know, family running for council. They're not gonna know whether or not they need to recuse themselves. But that process is already set.
It would also be a petition process.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Chairman, yeah, I'd just like to encourage any tribal member who's listening. And Nancy, election board is always looking for someone, for people to serve on there. And I know as a tribal member and a community member, I had a bunch of questions about what the election board was doing, that there was a lot of illegal things going on, and they were, you know, I had heard all kinds of rumors, so I ran for the election board probably 15 years ago to serve on there, to see the process. And they have their act pretty much together. I have all the confidence in our election processes to do a legitimate and thorough election. But I would encourage tribal members to run for the election board, serve on there, and go through the process and see what they're doing.
Thank you, Kirby. Are there any other questions, comments, concerns? What? Okay, call for the question has been called for. We have a motion from Marie, seconded by Jenny. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, abstention, motion carries. New submissions. Two-Spirit Inclusion Law, Clarissa.
This item starts on page 61 of your packet. So the request for the development of a Two-Spirit Inclusion Law came from recent discussion with the budget analyst regarding her work with the North American Indigenous Games, and it's kind of discussed the broader need for a two-spirit inclusion law. So two-spirit or transgender individuals constitute one of the most marginalized communities in the world. So the purpose of this law would be to provide protections against discrimination and promote inclusion of all two-spirited people within the nation. So we're looking for a motion from the LOC to add the two-spirit inclusion law to the active files list with Jenny Webster as the sponsor.
So move.
Support.
Motion made by Marie, seconded by Kirby. Questions or comments? Kirby.
Yeah, I'd just like to comment that this two-spirit inclusion law came before us through the with the Indigenous Games that's coming up and concerns they have going forward, and so they brought it before the LOC. So.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Nancy?
Okay, it's really hard to hear, first of all, you know, just to let you know that, just sitting right there, it's really hard to hear Clarissa and you guys. So I don't have a copy of that law, two-spirited inclusion law, and I didn't hear who submitted this, and I can't read the signature.
Ray Skenador from the budget analyst.
So this is an initiative coming from the Indigenous Games, is that correct?
Correct, but that's not only there. It can be in, yeah, through our employment and everything else, because this is a growing community, yeah. So
you so, have to have patience. You know, I'm always looking for who's going to enforce it. And then if there is some kind of an episode or an event or something that happens against a person who is a two-spirited person, who enforces that? You know, to me, in the real world, those are considered hate crimes. You know, you do bad things to a person because of what they believe or who they are. Those are considered more severe crimes, you know, against these kinds of people, or racism, or other kinds of crimes that target certain people. You know, so you can identify, you know, that you support all of this, but I don't see the law, and I don't see how you're going to enforce it. And I don't know, it just, right. You know, I don't see it.
Kirby.
Yeah, Nancy, it's there is no law. It was just brought forth to put on the active files list, so we're in the beginning stages. Somebody just filed a petition for this to go forward. The person that brought it before us is the tribal representative in Indigenous Games. So there were questions at the Indigenous Games level that sparked some concerns of a tribal member that maybe we need to get something on record regarding the two-spirit. And so they said, this is probably going to come up down the road. Do we have anything on the records? We have nothing on the records. You're right, there is no law to refer to. There is nothing to go to, because it's just now being put on the active files list. And so now the process starts. The LRO will start doing research on two-spirit laws throughout the country and communities, and we'll start discussion and drafting things. We'll have community meetings, and then we'll look for input from the community members at that point. But right now it's just put on the active files list, and there's really nothing there to have a copy of.
Okay, you said that somebody petitioned. What do you mean?
Well, submitted the application to...
For here,
for the LOC to put on the active files list a two-spirit inclusion law.
Okay, on the bottom of here, it says signature of requester. Whose signature is that?
That's mine. Oh. I filled out the agenda request form on behalf of the LOC. So as I stated, the budget analyst, Ray Skinner, and her work with the Indigenous Games has come across the issue of Indigenous people and in making sure that they're not discriminated against and that they're included. And she brought this conversation and the discussion to potentially draft a law to address this topic to the Legislative Operating Committee during an LOC work session, and the LOC kind of had discussion with her on this topic and potentially what this law could be and addressed. And we had the discussion that this would go really beyond just athletics, but to just general life, to make sure that you know, we want to always protect marginalized communities within the nation. So I filled out the agenda request form on behalf of the LOC based on that discussion. So it is my signature at the bottom. But the original idea did come from Brace Skinnador to kind of produce this. As Kirby stated, at this point, we don't have a draft yet. We're just in the kind of those initial stages of deciding that this is a topic that the LOC does want to move forward with working on. So now that we have it to the Actus Files list, we will assign it to an attorney in the Legislative Reference Office and begin kind of doing the research and having the work meetings to develop this potential topic.
So who decides in the LOC whether a topic comes forward or gets drafted legislation and a law? Say I come, you know, off the street and I got some, I don't know, I can't give an example right now, an idea, and it comes forward. How is that decided that it moves forward with the law? Because this sounds like it's an issue underneath the Indigenous Games. And if they want to form a policy and a procedure to enact a rule or a law and enforce it during the Indigenous Games, that's one thing. But when you're doing it tribal-wide, you know, it's important. I agree. You know, we don't want anybody discriminated against, treated badly, especially when they're employees, and especially when there are tribal members. But there are policies, rules, and laws, I believe, that, you know, require so much work. I've seen it. I appreciate it. And, you know, that take the time and the effort and then, you know, the fine-tooth combing of an adoption of a rule, law, ordinance, whatever you call it. And so to take this, you know, for something that's happening over in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I just, you know, think that there are so many more important things on our plate than dealing with how somebody feels for the Indigenous Games. So thank you.
Larissa.
I just want to clarify that the request came from Ray Skinnador in her research of the various rules that the Indigenous Games have. So the Indigenous Games does already kind of have its rules and procedures on how to address two-spirited people in their competition. So this isn't necessary for the Indigenous Games. When Ray was doing her research, it kind of just sparked her thoughts that the nation doesn't have anything to address this. And as the world is changing, we're trying to become, you know, make sure we're protecting those marginalized communities within our society. And it was her idea to make this, or to bring this request to the LOC, again, to be more general, not just applying to athletes. So it's not related to the Indigenous Games. The topic just came forward through Ray's research of the Indigenous Games policies and procedures as she's working kind of through that role. And then I do want to highlight that anyone is allowed to bring forward a request for amendments to a law or the creation of a new law. The LOC on its webpage has an agenda request form, and that's the form that you'll see kind of in the packet with my signature on it. So any individual can fill out that form with their idea. You can submit a memo or any other backup material along with it. You can submit that to the Legislative Operating Committee via our email. When we receive a request, every single request gets put on the next scheduled LOC meeting. So much like today, it gets presented what the idea is, and then the LOC considers the idea and then votes on whether or not to add it to its active files list. So there's great opportunity for basically anyone to participate in the legislative process and submit any ideas that they have on creating laws that would be a benefit of the nation. Every request comes to make the formal votes during a meeting, or if you're making a request, you're also welcome to come to the LOC meeting to kind of share your ideas in more in depth. And then once the LOC adds something to the active files list, that's kind of when we start working on it. So there's great opportunity to participate in the legislative process and have a hand in the development of new legislation.
Kirby.
Yes, thank you. Clarissa, and I guess that you catch me off guard, Nancy, because I know you've been in this arena for many years, and who decides whether a law gets to be moved forward or get on the active files list. The business committee, or the LOC does, and how you get on the LOC is you run for the business committee and you're elected by General Tribal Council. Once you're elected by General Tribal Council by the majority of votes, then you're part of the, if you're on the business committee side of it, not the officers, you're then part of the LOC. And then the LOC, once you're elected by General Tribal Council and you're sitting at this table, you decide whether it's going forward on the active files list. You have a voice. You don't decide, but you have a voice here. And once we decide someone's petitions, we discuss it and decide whether it's on the active files list or not. And then is it a priority? Is it an emergency? Or is it something we have to work on, but it's nothing really going on right now? So it makes it to that list, and we have high priority, minimum, and low priority. But it's the LOC, and then once they start working on them laws, then how the community gets involved, once the LRO who works for the LOC starts doing their drafting and investigation, they start holding community meetings. And they book them community meetings after work, during lunch, and tribal members can attend or submit in writing. But that's kind of the process, and I guess your question is who decides, and I guess it all starts with tribal elections and running for the business committee.
Thank you, Kirby. All right, with no other questions or comments, I will call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, abstention, motion carries. Looking for a motion to adjourn at 9:40.
So move.
Motion by Kirby, Daniel, seconded by Marie. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstentions, motion carries. Thank you, everyone.